You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Bob Hinkle. Today, we're taking a subject initiated by Carol and talking about some of the nitty-gritty of being a great club, being a great promoter, being a great artist, and how all those things work together.
Well, I'll start, I guess, because I happen to be one of those terrible people, venue owner people. I started out a career as an artist, and then I became a record producer, and then I became a personal manager, and then I ran a record company, two record companies, and then I became a consultant for all sorts of people. So I've sort of been in a lot of the doorways that one can go in this business, and that kept me in New York for 40 years, and then New York, as someone told me, got dingy on my sleeve, and we came back to where I started, which is Western North Carolina. And looking around Western North Carolina for something to do wherein I could use basically a lot of what I already knew. And long story short, and it's a pretty good story, but it's long, we ended up, my wife and I actually ended up with White Horse Black Mountain, which is for which we renovated the old Chevy dealership in downtown Black Mountain. The fire department says 300 people can go in there, and we've had that three times. And we've had all of the terrible problems that any venue owners have, many of which, by the way, I didn't have any idea about when I started. It's been an enormous amount more work than I thought it would be. It's also been a heck of a lot of fun. There have been some moments that I wouldn't trade for anything.
And then the other moments.
Exactly. And I'm very fond of what I'm doing, in spite of the fact that it's hard to make a living doing it.
So many clubs have come and gone, though, and it does make you wonder what makes a club great. I mean, if you've traveled around, there are a lot of clubs that have been there for a long time. So many have come and gone, but the Arc is still in Ann Arbor. You know, the Crate and Salvage may be gone in Berkeley. I think it might be gone, but the Main Point in Philadelphia and the Bitter End in New York and Eddie's Attic there's something about those, the Bluebird Cafe, whatever, that made those special and made them last. And as an artist, it's not necessarily because they're the cleanest or the best.
Right. Or technologically the most sound either sometimes.
Right. And Asheville has some working on lasters too, the Gray Eagle, the Orange Pill, whatever. There's a lot, Jack of the Wood, there's so many. Asheville has a really good record for longevity, actually, in the club scene. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that make a club great from, you know, people want to go and they want to hear the music. But from the artist's perspective, the quality of the sound system is an enormous thing. I don't even know if that matters so much to the public. I don't even know if they know whether or not, I hope they do, how much effort artists put into wanting to be heard.
Well, on that tip, I remember reading very recently about the artist St. Vincent and looking her up. I was trying to find out if she was releasing a new record, but I found on her site a post about canceling a show in the Midwest, and it basically said, "We're sad to report that the venue and promoter could not give us a working sound system, and we're canceling the show."
Wow.
Well, can't blame the artist for canceling the show with no sound system, though. It's pretty basic. It's like showing up with your clothes, you know.
It's everything to the artist, though, and people don't realize that if we can't hear ourselves, then we can't put on a good show for them. And I wish more people sitting in their tables in the audience would demand better sound or would raise their hand. Most people in the audience sit there to halfway through the show, and then they say, "Wow, I wish I could have heard that concert. I wish all those people in the audience would go to the guy at the door and say, would you tell them to turn it up?"
Even worse, the audience thinks that that's what the band really sounds like.
Right. That's the worst part. Because we don't know.
And you know, all those concerts, the Beatles basically stopped doing live concerts at the point where technology got to the place where they could actually hear themselves on stage. Mm-hmm. But they had already quit doing live performances.
Right.
Wow.
The sound systems in those days, not so good sometimes.
That's right. The thing about clubs, though, that work for a long period of time is they all have something peculiar about them that make them not generic, that make them unique and have a sense of something particular that you feel when you go there. I mean, there's something very Irish about Jack of the Wood. There's something very Celtic about it, even though, you know, a lot of what they do isn't Celtic. There's something you know, there's something that about the orange peel that when you walk in, you think, I've just walked into the big time. You know, I've walked into a place where, well, and in fact, Rolling Stone said they were the number, what, 3 or 7 or something?
They ranked them like number 1 or something in the country or something like that?
As a place to go hear music. So, you know, there's a thing that they're doing that's really working very well. I mean, our thing, and I didn't start out to do this, it just sort of happened, is that we feel like a community. People walk in and it's friendly and everybody's talking to each other. And we feel like, meaning Whitehorse, feels like there's a sense of being able to walk in and not just listen, but to participate and know somebody's there and meet somebody who's there. It's just kind of a warm place, which is something I'm very proud of.
Well, I think the Gray Eagle in Asheville shares a similar trait with your club in that you can go there and you can actually hear the people on stage well and listen and have the choice to go back to the bar and drink and party or to actually be where you can be heard. But I see your club as having a level of professionalism that all clubs should aspire to and that many of the great ones have when you travel around and go to them. Godfrey Daniels was in Bethlehem forever, and it was just a little tiny bar. But the level of professionalism and the people running the show were so good. And I'm sure it must have a lot to do with people's ability to keep the books. You know, it's got to be hard in a small club to keep things going.
It is. And once you start one, you have to realize that, like any other new business, you're going to probably, if you get lucky, you're going to break even somewhere in the first half of the third year of operation, and you have to kind of be ready for that, which, of course, I wasn't. But you know, that's why my pockets are empty at this time. There are those clubs that have hung around, and, Carol, you named some of them. One of my very favorite ones is the Barnes at Wolf Trap.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is, I think, has all of this quality you're talking about. They sound great, they look great, they're comfortable, and they're attached to this very high-quality classical venue. Or largely classical venue, so that they have a reputation to live up to, and so it works for them. Unfortunately, just because there are a whole lot of clubs out there, there are a lot more clubs that don't quite cut the mustard than do. And having managed people and been an artist and traveled around, I can honestly say I played at least once in each of the contiguous 48 states, and in doing so, found a lot of places I loved and a lot of places I really would just like to never see again in my whole life. And maybe that taught me something. I don't know.
Clubs are a special thing, though. I mean, there's probably 30 of them in Asheville, and every one of them probably meets a different need for the public going to hear them. You know, I'm always hearing about a little club that's opened up in the downstairs of somewhere that lots of people are going to hear, electronica music or something. But the club scene's a special thing.
And other places in our region, you look towards, say, Spartanburg with Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. And, a place that I have not been. I am remiss in not having gone there, but it's some fantastic lineups and a long-standing place. It's going to be pretty hardcore. It's going to be rocking. Uh-huh. Also, places in Charlotte and all across the region, really. Well, one of the other things of this equation, of this sort of triumvirate of artist, promoter, and club is, say, the promoter. And for a club, it can be pretty tricky business working it out to, say, your advantage, but then again, also for the artist and the audience as well.
Yeah, it's all a people thing, though, Joe. It just depends on who you're working with. You know, it's like the lawyers say about contracts are only as good as the people that sign the bottom line, and it's kind of the same way. If you're working with somebody that you trust and who has enough concurrent with you in terms of values of music and otherwise, it really can be a really pleasant and good experience and can, give you a better feeling about humanity in general. And you can have the opposite experience as well. And, generally you work with those people once.
One thing that people might not necessarily know is that when you are a venue, when you're booking shows and you're working with a promoter, you often have to take some artists that you might not necessarily be all that enamored of to be able to get the ones that you really want.
Is that true? I've often heard that, but I didn't know if it's
actually
true or not.
I don't think it's quite as true as it used to be. The whole idea of foisting a package on somebody is not quite as popular, or at least it's not quite as popular in the size venue that I have, which is small enough to avoid a lot of it anyway. But it is still there. I mean, you know, the booking agency has a new act that's signed to the record label. They're bringing out their first record, and they're trying to find a way to get exposed like everybody else. And the agent can put the pressure on a series of promoters to take a package that includes this act. And whether the promoter wants it or not is really irrelevant. It's a part of the deal.
And on the other side of the triangle, the artists themselves can do a great deal to help them and the club be able to have success, in that they adequately promote and trade off shows with artists, say, when you're traveling to another town. That whole tradition of being able to swap shows with each other. A lot of artists that are fairly well known have bombed in other cities because they just haven't done the basics.
That leads me to, as a club owner, one of my biggest pet peeves is artists who think that all they have to do is show up and play. Those days are gone.
They've been gone for quite a while.
You are a promoter. You are a publicist. You are you have to wear 12 different hats to do this. It's actually a wonderful education if you're willing to look at it that way. But the rehearsing and the songwriting and all of that stuff is really only about half the ball game right now. And the rest of it is how you choose to present yourself to somebody like me, to a promoter, to the media and the market that you're in. And once you get on the stage, all of that comes together. And if it's not all there, your attendance is not going to be what it should be, and your show is not going to be what it should be, and the chances are you won't come back.
Well, artists have to be publicists now, too. Darn, there's too much to do.
Right. Especially in Western North Carolina, which is, I think, the most entertained group of people and possibly in the whole world.
Uh-huh.
I once counted the venues that are just in Asheville alone and stopped at about 40 and realized that even in the greater metropolitan area of Asheville is only at most 150,000 people. You think about that for a second, and you know, and compared to like New York, where there's awful lot of venues, but there's also like, you know, 12 million people in the area, and you realize what the competition is. It's pretty fierce, and it's at the same time, because it's Western North Carolina, it's all conducted, or a lot of it is conducted in a very civil sort of way, which I also really like. But it's not easy. You know, it's really not.
It does mean that the people of Western North Carolina get really high quality music. And in the end,
right,
that should be what it's all about.
Yep.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. Talking about the relationships between artists, promoters, venues, and what makes all of those pieces fit together. For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin and Bob Hinkle. Until next time.